Blog Talk Radio.
The hits just keep on coming.
Let's start the show. You know what time it is.
What up?
It's the Powerhouse Squad. The Powerhouse Squad of Radio.
The Powerhouse Squad is in the house. With Tone Robbins.
Live and direct, man.
Koopy Afore.
Video. I am Hills Koopy Foodie.
And Brother Al.
Hey, what's up?
You know, it's not just the wisdom, it's the basis of understanding of the subject. Our newest member to the Powerhouse Squad,
Sophia Alexandria.
Yeah. What's up, everybody? What's up? It's the Powerhouse Squad is in the house. Brother Tone is not going to be able to make it today, due to circumstances beyond his control. But Kofi might be coming in, I don't know. So we just, we have a little situation, we're dealing with it, but everything has been going good and fine beyond that. Just want to give a shout out to everybody out there. This is Brother Alfred Williams. This is the Powerhouse Squad. All right. Sister Sophia, sorry I'm late. Sister, I had some important things to deal with. How you doing today? Okay. All right. Well, we in the house today. We're just talking, getting everything together, getting things started. Yes, we're a little bit late behind, falling behind. So we want to apologize to all our listeners out there. We appreciate you, and we tell you we love you. We really do. We appreciate everyone that listens and follows to NSF Radio. We are here, and we are ready, and we are live. All right, Sister Sophia, did you hear me?
Yes, I heard you.
Okay, Queen. I'm sorry about that. The darn button went flashing on me and didn't do it right.
But oh, yeah, that's okay. Everything is
yeah.
All good.
Yeah. So today we just want to sit down and talk about heroes. Of course, we always want to talk about who our heroes are and what they have done to help change your life. How they affect you, who made you, what made you the person that you are. We look at the analytical situation of what it means to be a savior. What does it mean to be a hero? What does it mean to have a hand that can help somebody when they are at their lowest? I'll start with myself, of course, and my savior right now, my current situation is my children. I appreciate them. They keep me alive. They keep me moving and motivating. And it's really, really hard, but I try every day to keep moving forward the best way I can. And I allow myself to look at that and what they have done for me. Now, we know that a child or children are an extension of yourself. We look at the picture of a child or a baby, and the first thing we do, our heart melts or we feel soft-hearted. Major concern and love and care. Unconditionally. A man once said to me, and I studied this, he said, fathers are the only ones that have to work hard to have unconditional love. But more people have always said in history, we've heard this time again, where they say, my father is my hero. Or somebody that we have seen on TV has been a hero. When you were a kid, you might say G.I. Joe was your hero, or Thundercats, or He-Man, or even the Smurfs. But we try to look for our heroes in different places, because what we need or what we desire, sometimes we are not getting at the main focus point in our lives. So we try to find a hero, an example that brings light to our idea of thought and the way we think. We struggle with the understanding of how to be a hero, but sometimes we become a hero without even knowing that we are a hero. Most heroes do not ask to be a hero. Most heroes are complacent at best, stagnant at most, sometimes one-sided, with strength of an opinion that is only their opinion, and not open-minded to any other way of thinking. But they are perceived as an individual or a group of people that one human being or a being looks up to. If we have a dog or a pet, you are that pet's hero because you feed the dog, you feed the cat, you shelter the cat, and you do what's necessary to provide. A hero provides sanctuary. A hero provides comfort. A real hero is somebody that can be perceived as an individual with great intentions, but with small measurements or small margins of way to complete his mission or their mission. Myself, I grew up, my hero was a mix. My hero was at first, because of all the other children. I grew up in a white neighborhood, white area. I would see fathers take their children and do things. So I developed a father complex, which is known in normalcy in most major societies. And with that being said, we are in a position where our minds, as youthful children, we want to gravitate to what everybody else has because we want to feel equal. And because we feel we want to be equal to all others, we want to look for our heroes in that normal, as they say, in the box. So if we cannot get it in the box, we gravitate outside the box and find others who can give us what we need. And most people that are in need, they want something that they can brag or maybe boast to others and say, look what I have. You're not the only one that has it. We profess ourselves to be normal, but when an unnormal society, even though psychiatry books and you study in psychiatry, they tell you that the definition of normal is only defined by your environment. And with that environment dictating your actions, you are only allowing yourself a measure or margarine which is not very thick, but very thin. So those heroes that you normally look for as children or even as adults might come from a father or a mother, an uncle or an aunt. And with that mindset, we gravitate to let them, those parents or those images mold us into the people we are or we shall be. But then if we have outside influences along the way, or as they used to say when I was younger, we adapt to the environment and our surroundings. Our attitude adapts and evolves or re-evolve into something new. We must look at these so-called situations and able to say, when I am looking for that hero, when I'm looking for that one person, whether it's God, a counselor, a therapist, somebody with a mindset that might be greater than my own, that can be there when I am downtrodden and beaten down, and allow myself pick up my own pieces. But that voice of that hero stays within. It is our measure for our society to always find a hero or those who do great things and to make us into or help us get through that next stage. My hero when I was younger, as I tried to start to restate earlier, was my father. Now, my father was not in the household, which was part of the statistic in the 80s during the Reagan era, because the black man was not allowed to able to have that father in the home, which was a low percentage statistically across the board and across this nation, even across the world. Because of the divorce rate in the 70s as well as the 80s, even to the present time, the father was not in the home. And because the father was not in the home, it made us harder to find the lessons or the guides that we need to be a proper human being in that modern day society at that time. And I would say to anyone that if you had that father in that home, then I would say to you that you are that 1% of that 99.9%. And if you are that 1%, you had a shimmering of light, but did not make you special in your own right. Because statistically, that even that 1% can be corrupted. And that 1% we talk about, what we can say has been corrupted, we look at the Menendez brothers. We look at Timothy McVeigh. We look at these other homegrown terrorists, Ted Bundy, the mentality of abuse in the home, all these serial killers, and those who come out of the woodwork, even with the father being in the household. Now, these are just examples on a broad spectrum so that you can see where I'm going with this. As a man who tries to struggle with his own demons on countless measures, who tries to look at the world and say, I'm not asking to be a hero, but I am trying to be a helping hand. I say to those people, the hero, the first hero should be within yourself. The second hero is where the womb you came from, and the source that made that womb is your second hero. Your third and most and final hero is your faith and your belief in your community, your people. If it is God that you seek, then let that be part of that measurement of a hero. And you have formed within yourself your own Avengers squad. Or as we say on here, you form your own powerhouse squad. Because a house that's not divided shall not fall. But a house divided shall fall again and again. If we can look at our people and our communities, whether you are white or black, Asian or Mexican, whether you are from the upper lands to the lower land, whether you're from the mountains, the country, or the city, it is these measurements that we just put in ourselves and allow ourselves not to be dictated by outside forces. It is now time for us to look at ourselves and say, it's no more. We form our own heroes. We shall never not overcome. We shall rise above the situations and formulate a great hero, whether it's family, by blood, or not by blood. But the human family is your family, and that is where you find your true hero. End quote. So I want to say thank you for listening to my point. And I know I dragged on, and somehow I brought the spirit out of me. And I want to say thank you for that. So, Sister Sophia, I'm going to leave it to you right now. Go ahead and speak.
Hey, everybody. I love that, Brother Alfred. That was very inspiring and motivational. And I like how you mentioned, started out with your motivation or your children being your hero, because I can definitely relate to that, being that, you know, having children, they inspire you in ways that you wouldn't think that they would. Even with me going through my second divorce, just looking at them when I wanted to give up, you know, it helped motivate me to push forward. So children just being who they are and loving you in that way, and relying and depending on you, can be your heroes. And so I love that, because a lot of times we don't think about that. Like you mentioned, growing up, you kind of think about who your heroes. Then you mentioned the Smurfs and Thundercats and all this stuff and all of that. You kind of think about those things growing up. But like as we mature and get older, who is it that, you know, who is it that is our hero? You know, so I love what you mentioned about the family and where you came from. Because a lot of times we forget about those things, and we just go about life and always looking outside when we have something inside. And so, and I look at my father. I was one of the ones that was fortunate to have my father in the home. My parents are still married to this day. And he taught a lot of things, and the reason I do have the work ethic that I do have today is because of him. He would always say around the house, don't do anything half-hearted. Do everything with all your heart. You know, he said, I don't care if you're sweeping the floor. He said, I don't care if you're frying chicken. You know, It was just stuff like that. And so that taught me, anytime I worked at a place, and any, you know, sometimes you're like, oh, I don't feel like doing this. And then that thought will always come to my mind, say, don't do anything half-hearted. And so as he taught me that, that became instilled in me. And so that's why I was able to go work for people and then, you know, defy the odds being a black woman in corporate America when I was in corporate America, getting to those jobs because my work ethic was there. They could not deny that, because when I did something, I did it. So my dad, he taught me a lot of things. that really pushed me along the way. And he is my hero for showing me and my siblings how to treat how women should be treated. You know, he treated my mom like a queen. It was pretty much he always wanted to whatever was peaceful. So if anything was going to be like outside of that, he'll go ahead and give in. Now, there were moments where he didn't, but he showed us how a family is supposed to be as far as husband and wife, how, you know, what to kind of look for, what a man should be doing. And if this is not, you know, this is not where you should go. So he is my hero for that, being that example, someone that I can look up to. And Brother Afer, I wrote some things down as you were saying, because something you mentioned I really loved, because you said the hero starts with you. Because a lot of time we look outside of ourselves and we doubt ourselves, and we don't have that esteem that we need to have when we have come a long way. We don't look at where we are now, what we have accomplished. So once we can see the hero in ourselves, that's great. That's the beginning. That's the start. And I love how you said, look in your own community. Who is it, your relatives? Because a house divided will fall, and that's just how it is today in society, in the world now. You know, even as if we're talking about a people, black people, we are divided. And that's why, you know, even if when you mentioned that we were going to be talking about heroes, guess who came to my mind? Akon, you know, the singer Akon, because I look up to him and I admire him for some of the things that he's done, because not only is he helping the community, he's a singer. Most, you know, you think about singers and he do a little rapping or whatever. Yeah, you just think about them singing and that's it. We just know them for singing. But Akon is one of those people that is trying to keep the community together, that's trying to help out. How can I help make something great? His projects in Africa, I love that. That inspires me. He has, a solar energy power project that he's helping country, you know, impoverished countries in Africa. And it's all about building that bridge so that we can connect and we can have that community, just as you've mentioned, because if we all get together as a people, not only just as, you know, a black race, but as a human race, which you mentioned, we would be so, you know, in a better place. And I love what Jane Elliott teaches, how she teaches we're the same. So if we can spread that message and teach our children, and not only just teach it or talk about it, but be about it and actually do it, then I think we will have that community as a nation. But until then, things are going to be divided in the world. And so I look up to people that change. That changes things for other people. You know, of course, we have the heroes that have passed away that made, you know, things available for us, resources available for us as a black race. Because, you know, in this nation where we are currently, you know, it wasn't always this way. We weren't able to do these things that we're afforded to do now. So people like Akon stand out to me. Tyler Perry, I know people got stuff saying against him, but for me, Tyler Perry is one of my heroes, because he went against the odds. He was a homeless man, did what he had to do to make it, made it. But then guess what he's doing? A lot of his shows are helping people of color. You know, it doesn't even matter what you look like, whereas, you know, it was hard for other people to make it in the film industry and all of that. Cicely Tyson, all of that. Tyler Perry is in that category for me. Cicely Tyson went through it. It was hard. She fought that path, but she didn't give up. And Tyler Perry, and the thing about it, too, is in the film industry, it was harder for black people to get into it. Because we were black, but then if they did give it to a black person, they wanted somebody that was light-skinned, and if they did want somebody that was dark-skinned, they wanted them to be a model or something like that. So Tyler Perry opens the door for all of that. I don't care what size you are, how you look, Tyler Perry will open that door for you, and you can just see it through. And so people like that actually inspire me. And now he created, you know, his own company, and he's doing the thing. So those people I look up to, Oprah Winfrey, how she was told that she wouldn't have a talk. She was too ugly or something. You know, stuff like that that defied, you know, went against all of the odds. You know, one of my favorite old stories is the Sojourner Truth story. You know, to me, she showed, like, courage, like, straight up, like the stuff that she did in her time and at that time was like crazy to me, because like she was the first woman, black woman, to go against a court system that was all white and actually win. So those things. And then the thing about it is that we live in a world where, you know, everything is not as it should be, or, you know, fair for everything or equal. And so like me growing up in the South in Louisiana, we were taught about, we weren't really taught about black history. We had the Martin Luther King Day off. It was like skipped over. If we did, it was only like, oh, Martin Luther King, this and that, and Harriet Tubman and Rosa Parks. That was it. And so, like, the information that I do know now is because I learned it as I, you know, got older. You know, because that was taught in the schools. They may do it out of, you know, just going through the motions, or this is how we, what we have to do. But it was briefly mentioned, and then my parents didn't necessarily talk about it in detail with me or what they knew about history, because they're from Louisiana too, and they probably did. If their parents didn't teach them anything about their ancestors or what actually happened, then, you know, what are they going to teach me, you know? So I just think I love what you said, Brother Alfred, about building that community and getting there. And that should be our goal, because if we can get it together as a people, as a community, we can eventually get it together as a nation.
Right, right. Because, you know, heroes come in many faces. If a community is united, then there's a one, then that word hero becomes heroes. And it becomes a form of, which we use in today's term, an avenger. They are avenger against vengeance, against those who try to come with opposition against you, those who come in. Just like way NSF has worked. NSF is formed because it's a community. It's formulated to work as we are many doing many things. But we work to help many more faces, because we, you know, we do in our own personal, yes. But when we come together like the Avengers, we are fighting injustice in many forms. There is, and this is the first time in history you're ever going to hear me say this. We fought injustice for the white man as well as the black man. Now, see, here's where it has occurred. When we say unjust or injustice against them, well, they created a system where the black man's father or the father is not part of the home. So they come up with these DHS, these foster care system. They come up with this court system where the government will pay you if the father's not in the home. Programming the mind. And programming your body to say, I don't need the man to be there. And guess what? It backfired on him. So now the white man is facing the same thing. So if you're a poor white man with desolate, or you living in a double wide trailer or a hitchback trailer, you're facing these issues greater. I've met people who actually sat back and told me, I am so beaten down that I don't even want to participate to be any man's hero, any person's hero. I'm just a man that rather live on the street. So with that being said, sister, we're going to take a 2-minute break and go right to the commercial. And we'll be right back, everybody, in 2 and 2.
A long time. Due to child support issues or because of child custody issues. Do you find yourself looking at old pictures of your children and wondering how they are doing? myself. Maybe I should have worked harder to make it work with their mother. Do you find yourself saying, I know the relationship wasn't a great fit for me, but we have a child together. Maybe I should have worked harder to make it work for the children. Are you stuck in a bad marriage and maybe want out? Or you just want to work it out but can't find a safe place to go where your feelings or your voice will be heard? Well, we have the answer for you. Here at the National Saving Fatherhood Foundation, we're working hard to find and give you the answers you may need to help you get to your next step in life. Find ways to keep your peace of mind and family together. We have a wide array of programs and resources to help you, whether it be our child support payment programs to help you get back on your feet, or our fatherhood group support classes to help you become the best father you can be, or 24/7 fatherhood hotline for when you're feeling down or not safe in your relationship or lifestyle. Even our Lost and Found program to help find your children and remake that lost connection. The National Saving Fatherhood Foundation is here for you to help you keep that bond strong once again. So call us today at 1-800-903-2096, extension 1, and ask to speak to a caseworker today. What are you waiting for? Call 1-800-903-2096. Let us help you keep that family bond strong.
Again, but back, we're talking about heroes today. We're asking, who is your hero? Call the number right now, 516-418-5805. We are live in effect right there for you. We're just talking to our, one of our sisters out there. Brother Kofi, hey, how you doing, Brother King? I wanted to ask you, who is your hero? Who uplifts you the most?
Well, that's a great question, and I've been enjoying the conversation. And it's a little different, I guess, than many. Maybe not even different. You know, we're talking heroes. I'm usually thinking a little different. But same as you guys. You know, we talk about fathers and what they taught. My father, extremely hard worker, still working, basically working. I guess he's working a full-time job. For most of my life, he was always working 2.5 jobs at all times. So anything that I've ever been connected to, even though I've had less experience in 9-to-5 than him, but whether it was in the military, whether it was for organizations, church organizations, things to grassroots type organizations, whatever, I've always been one who has put a lot of effort and hard work into it, as my father did. My mother, I actually have talked about this, on the show before. We even had Brother Tone or Sister Sophia on. I even was one who, about how my mother was a hero. I watched my mother deal with multiple sclerosis, and oftentimes, I wish I had a lot of the knowledge that I have today. As far as eating habits and things that we could have done to help her, and natural medicine and things that I teach now, those are people that I looked up to. Those are things that I wish I could go back and, do things better for. And I often say a lot of times when people will look at things, whether it's them thinking about it from the term of a pelish or what we call pastoring or, other ways of looking at some of those things, I tell people a lot of things that I do to bring really, like, a lot of people to be able to look at them or how would they be perceived? What do I do that actually makes them, look good? What makes them, what does society make them look at them and look at the people who carry my last name, I carry theirs, excuse me, let me say that correctly. Those are things that I look at in that manner where, a lot of us are usually looking, to other people outside of ourselves, outside of our community, outside of our base. And, I agree with you guys a lot that because I don't know if it's forgotten is the correct term or just because we've not focused on it, we have looked to everybody else outside of self. I would also, too, belief system, I'm not going to deny the fact that, of course, I look full of who have been in the Bible, or even, Yahshua Mashiach, who people call, Jesus Christ. I look to, him, of course, in my personal life or my personal walk. Doesn't mean that I get on anybody else if they don't. Just for me, there's a standard, and I feel like it's actually his standard, not the one that we kind of dance around and never really actually attain because we're so busy doing things in a manner, as others have said, and even Sister Sophia a couple times has talked about on the show, where we say one thing and do something completely different. And so people are confused because they're like, okay, you say you believe this, but everything in your life says something that is completely opposite. So I try to uphold that because really to me, a hero is a standard, right? So I look at standards, and that's why oftentimes when we talk about culture or black history, or really black story, because it's our story, it's not his story. But when we talk about our culture, when we talk about our people, our faith, our belief, our customs, I always tell people, I look at standards and who is your standard? For example, when you say the Pledge of Allegiance and you pledge allegiance to the flag, every flag is known as a standard. And so when you look up to the flag and you even put your hand over your heart, the heart even represents the passion. So when what you're saying is I'm passionate about this standard. And so when I see a standard and it's something I want to be a part of, it's something I want to grow, it's something I want to nurture inside of myself, I oftentimes look at, I oftentimes make sure I study the standard. If you're going to, if you're somebody who still considers yourself an American and all those things, then you have to make sure that you're aware of the standard and how that standard works. If you're going outside and operating outside of that standard, you can't be somebody who says that you're making that standard look good. When I was in the military, I did a lot of, public affairs work, PAO, public affairs officer, things of that nature for my command or for whatever group that I was representing or whatever, situation I was in, no matter where in the world. We had standards. We had certain things that we said. We said things like honor, courage, and commitment, different things like that, that were supposed to show our commitment to the standard, everything that we talked about, we walked about, if we were showing people certain things or whatever about our walk when we were going to other countries, when people came to visit us from other countries, and we were supposed to make sure we knew their standards and their customs, right? Like you might not touch somebody's wife from another country. That might be a no-no. So when you're messing with their standard, you actually have messed up with how you look because you weren't willing to honor somebody else's customs and traditions and culture. And so the same thing, must go for us. When we're talking about these standards and things, these heroes, who are we looking at? And so, as you guys have so eloquently put it, it's hard for us because we keep looking to people or we keep saying that we're looking for heroes. And as was said, the hero, you are a hero, so to speak. Now, I know we're using that term. We're usually talking about Greco-Roman philosophy. So even that kind of messes with our standard. When we're talking about heroes, we're talking about a word or even a concept that most of us are going to base on, Greco-Roman mythology. So a lot of people, when we're talking about heroes, they're going to be thinking about even in our comic books, those are all Greco-Roman characters, just with different names and different masks on. Even the Amazonian princess, although technically, you know, the Amazons actually come out of a story about African women who were whipping, colonizers' butts all over the place. But they lied and said, you know, hey, we actually, as we talked about, I think, on this show, right? Somebody brought it up on the show. But, you know, we forget that actually is our theme.
Yeah.
You know, our women were whipping their tails. And when they whipped their tails too much, then they came back and told them lies about, oh, these were giant women and et cetera. And so still to this day, we're having conversations about our people, our customs, our traditions through the lens of other prisms, even if that prism is a lie. Because Wonder Woman is not a Jewish woman in an outfit. She is a black woman, even by the lie that's presented, you know. But when we look at these things, it becomes a different standard, right? So
right.
That a lot of that, when we look up to our heroes, it's very interesting who we're looking at. We're looking at a lot of times people who are outside of ourselves. I remember not too long ago, black people specifically, were frustrated because The Little Mermaid was going to come out and they were going to make it like a live action play. And people got upset because they were going to show Ariel as a black woman. They were going to have a sister play the character. And people didn't want to see Ariel as a black woman or as a black mermaid or whatever. And so black people got really frustrated. I said to everybody, like, hold off on your frustration, because that's not really our culture and our hero anyways. That's not our standard. And there's certain things that come with that type of mythology that you probably don't want your people to be tied to. But once again, it becomes about heroes and standards. So, you know, that's why my heroes are people like Marcus Garvey, who comes over from a place that my family's tied to, Jamaica, and comes over with people that are in the States, and actually came over to kind of learn some things and go back. But once he got here, decided that the diaspora was more important than just Jamaica, and made us important in Africa, in India, in South America, in North America, in England, literally starts a business for us, by us, you know, and even literally, is going, has two different, some people will say up to four. I've only found in history two, but, you know, at least two ships that were used as cruise ships to make money. And of course, people would come by and later on mess with it so that they would be, they would no longer be usable. But he,
right.
You know, did that for us. That's a hero of mine, or you know, a Malcolm X, Malcolm Shabazz, or, you know, Martin Luther King Jr., who is a hero of mine because he put his money where his mouth is. So did Malcolm, as far as they were willing to put their life on the line. And whether you agree fully with everything they said
right.
or not, that's not as important as, hey, they were willing to put their lives on the line and make things better for us. And even, like you said, for others. You know, Malcolm gets a bad rap in that, but we forget that Malcolm basically at the end of his life, one of the reasons the CIA helped to take him out is because he was, in fact, saying, look, we'll work with white people. You know, he didn't say that white people can join us, but he did say, hey, we'll work with them because it's about the main thing being the main thing. We need to abolish poverty as much as we need to abolish slavery of the mind. Or Martin Luther King Jr. gets killed at the end because he starts talking about, you know, who we need to or how we need to not just worry about, you know, holding hands together, but what about, you know, finances? What about economics? If we're not going to talk economics, then all this other stuff is a moot point because we'll stay in the same position. You know, these are things that brothers and sisters were willing to die for. You know, even when we mentioned Jane Elliott, she's comes from the place of the original Cassius Clay. You know, the original Cassius Clay was a white man who was a skilled knife fighter and actually was willing to fight people to make sure and kill people if necessary to make sure that people who are black could get out of enslavement, whether it be mentally or physically, emotionally, et cetera. You know, these are people that are heroic to me. What about John Brown, who gets a bad
right.
even to this day because people want you to believe that this white pastor who was preaching in slavery and traveling around the world, speaking on behalf
right.
of abolition, they still, if you go to, for those of you who've been, if you haven't been, you know, take some time out at some point with your family and go to Harper's Ferry, and you'll see that they're still trying to get you and I to think that he's a bad person rather than him
right.
being someone who helped out mankind. You know, there's brothers that came from Scotland. There's But what even about some of our local or our recent people? You know, what about Dr. Amos Wilson, who made sure that he's teaching us about finances, or even Dr. Boyce Watkins, who teaches us about finances now? What about Dr. Cloud Anderson, who teaches us about finances? What about Dr. Joy DeGroy, who makes it a point to tell us about post-traumatic slave syndrome? What about Dr. Frances Press Wilson, who developed her life and just passed away somewhat recently, or recently, the last couple of years, and she was making sure that we looked at things differently as far as men, women, and just how the black man is attacked and things like that, and how the black woman needs to be better.
Right, right.
What about Shahrazad? I always must remember Shahrazad Ali.
And
how
Shahrazad.
She talks about the black man. Okay, yeah, mm-hmm. The black man and the black woman, how we can be better. So there's a lot of heroes, including ourselves. You know, a lot of stuff we're doing with Kofi Afudi stuff, for SOC stuff, Changing Lives Initiative. These are programs, as you were talking about, designed to get us to start working together as one, to have our own farmland, to teach people how to own business, to teach people how to own homes, to teach people how to not have to have credit, because credit actually gets you into debt, as far as how we live by somebody else's definition of credit, rather than credit being something that actually you have money, you paid in advance, and so you always have money. Those are people who I think we have to look into. And even if you're in your spirituality, and I end on this because, you know, we could really cook on this forever, but even if it's about whatever your spiritual belief is, if those people are your heroes, and you're going to make yourself heroes based on their example, because no hero, no person is better, bigger than their community, and no community is bigger than the individual. So if we're going to make ourselves heroes based off of these people, we must make sure that we are, once again, studying them, seeing what they believe, and honoring their beliefs by doing exactly what it is that they told us to do, not what we want to do, or not when we feel like doing it, you know, when it's comfortable, or when it's something that goes specifically but exactly what we want everybody to do. But what are we going to do to make sure that what they have laid out before us as our ancestors can be honored in all walks of life? That's when we really can start calling ourselves true heroes.
Well, I want to interject here. You know, we also go look at this. We have heroes of fact, and we have heroes of legend. And if we look at the heroes of legend, growing up, we've heard stories. The first time I heard a story about this person I'm about to introduce you all to was, believe it or not, that cartoon Boondocks. Okay. Now, at first, I thought it was a fictional character. It was just, you know, because, you know, they're all fictional characters. But as time progressed, we find out some of the characters was based off of true stories or real people. This story was the story of Jebediah Freeman. Now, first of all, I'm like, okay, hold on. I said, hold on a second. Jebediah Freeman, and, you know, the cartoon made it seem like, you know, white people trying to tell you he was some wild beast, crazy, you know, all nuts and crazy. But then we realize there was a real Jebediah Freeman who killed his slave masters, freed the slaves, and just went crazy, right? I mean, it was like Arnold Schwarzenegger before Arnold Schwarzenegger in an action movie. The way the real story comes out. And somehow it intertwined with Jamestown, because they said that there was a part of the story that I heard, the true story, was that he also was in Jamestown during the time when Jamestown was going through the uprising. I also heard part of the story, and I'm getting, over the years, I've been getting bits and pieces about what actually occurred. Then I'm hearing Jebediah's movement of what he did inspire Turner. And when Turner did what he did, all because of that inspiration of Jebediah Freeman. Now, Jebediah Freeman's story has become a myth in the black culture of history, with a mix of truth. So that is a mythological hero, or semi-real or you know, depending on which part you're listening to. Example of somebody with great strength to overcome adversity and devastation against him and his future, not just for survival for himself, well, yes, because he did it because survival of himself, because you got to remember during that time, black men were castrated, their sex were cut, burned, branded. They were told they were nothing more than just cattle. But we knew better that we are human beings. So we look at that now as part of fictional character. And I add on to it, let's look at another one. During the early 70s and early 80s, or late 70s, early 80s, the black community was thriving in. They wanted somebody to represent us in the Marvel DC universe. Now, you used to watch Super Friends and stuff like that. But people were watching the cartoons but not knowing there was a revolution going on. Right in front of your face. Black creators or artists would call you and say, I have this character named Black Lightning or Black Bolt. And they will fight with him saying, no, that can't be real. That's not good. We're not going to put that out. So being strategically sound, as we did, what we always did as black folks and those in the community, we get along to get along. And what we did, and on the next moment, once we had the comfortable seat, or we had a seat at the table, then we came back and brought the program back again. And we started seeing black superheroes approach. Black female superheroes approach. Even villains. If you want to talk about fictional characters that inspired black people, one of the major things that they came out in the 80s, the first I noticed was the cartoon by Mr. T. Mr. T became an idol to some black kids, saying, I pity fool. I can do anything. If Mr. T can do it, I can do it. So we started wearing feathers on our ears, mohawks on our heads. We'll cut our sleeves off, rip our sleeves off, and even the white kids started doing the same. Because Mr. T was cool. So being black is cool. What we don't understand, and we really do not see, if you grew up in an all-black neighborhood, let's say you grew up in a city where the population is high blacks on one side, and you grew up in that black population, you didn't really have that much of a threat just the threat that was normally there. But if you are a black child or children growing in a white society, you are suppressed to the resources of an idea what a black superhero looks like, or a hero, period. Because we want somebody that looks like us to represent us. And if we don't have that example of that person representing us, then we look otherwhere. So if we cannot have a proper example of a true hero, or somebody that can say, you can do it, And I quote from Adam Sandler, you can do it all night long, then we start to look in other locations for a hero. And then to quote a minister, we have been led astray. We have been hoodwinked because we had no other choice but to be hoodwinked because we needed strength to get us to the next day. Every person, no matter how old you get or how young you are, we always, psychologically, whether it's in the frontal lobe of the brain or the back of the cerebellum, we are always finding and looking for a hero. Now, Brother Kofi doesn't know this. I said it joking in passing, but I said, Brother Kofi, you are the Cornel West of this generation. Now I don't think he really understands what I mean by that. And I'd like to reiterate or expand on that just for a second. Dr. Cornel West was my first hero of the subconscious mind. Some may say, hey Brother Alfred, I thought the Nation of Islam, Farrakhan, Malcolm X. Nah. My first hero of the subconscious mind was Dr. Cornel West, who taught at Harvard University in Boston, Massachusetts. Professor West was a philosopher, a great analytical thinker, and still is an active member of the so-called leadership on the front lines of the black community. And I see him as an example, as people great. See, he never asked to be on this front line. He never asked to. He said once, I never asked for this. But he said, I saw an injustice happening to my people, which was also happening to himself. And he said, I'm going to find an answer and give a solution, but I'm going to critique it in a way so that all people can understand the message or see what really needs to be done. So he comes up and he speaks with Martin Luther King. He speaks with Malcolm. He speaks with Dick Gregory. He's speaking with Cicely Tyson. He's speaking with some of the great speakers of our time, Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson. Yes, he butted heads with some of them because of the way they handle it. He disagreed with them. But at the end of the day, you're still family. Now, that is part of the physical manifestation of a physical live hero. Another hero is somebody that is somebody that you are really not even paying attention to. Now, I want to ask you this question, both of y'all. When you go out your day and something that somebody said to you resonates in your mind, do you think about it again or you just thought about it when they said it that time? I'd like both of y'all to give me an answer.
I think about it. And I actually, a lot of times, would write it down. And that way I would add it to something that I, like, review and look over just to keep it fresh. So I'm usually writing things down that stick with me or resonate with me.
Okay. But Kofi?
It depends. I mean, first, There's different examples, but I mean, yeah, like, so I've had a lot of people who have spoken to me or spoken to something that I've been saying or speaking about or whatever, and, or just speak something that gets my mind racing. And so, yeah, like a lot, I'm very, as I've said many times here too, you know, I'm very, micro. So,
okay.
You know, so micro, somebody might say one thing and it can literally throw off my day as far as thought process, but also, you know, there's been something that somebody might have kind of whispered into my consciousness, so to speak. They just mentioned it briefly, and it might not hit me until a few days later. But, you know, so there's times I've written stuff down, and I've meditated on things. I've even prayed on things immediately, and there's a lot of times where somebody said something, and maybe 12 years later, I just happened to remember a conversation because I'm reading something and I see what they were talking about now that I wasn't ready to receive back then.
All right, because what we're doing is now we've heard the term in theory where they talk about a hero complex. But what we don't understand, and when I was doing my study and thesis in college for my psych exam, because I study a minor in psychiatry when I was in college. And what I was doing was looking at the word hero complex because it popped up because, they get the glossary in the back of the, school books. You always get the glossaries. So that term came up. Somebody who always tries to save somebody, who feels that they always must save somebody. What that means psychologically is those imprints or thoughts or words, the reason they resonate into your brain is because it's like a missing puzzle of a piece that you did not know you was putting that puzzle together. And because that piece is there, the answer for the puzzle that you did not know it was there has been given to you and filled the picture in full. And once that picture has been put in full focus, then you can able to answer the problem that comes up at a certain time or a future time when it arrives and able to come to the proper conclusion quicker than you can say hello. See, it's another form of being a hero. And hero is like I said, it's a broad spectrum of not wearing a cape and flying around and calling yourself Superman, but a hero is somebody who added value to your life. Because ask yourself the question, and I want you all to take this thought. When that piece of the puzzle was put in place and that thought came up, did you have a problem or an equation or a situation come up presently that you was able to solve because of that information came to your thought at that present time? Think about that. Just think about that. If we are going to call ourselves a community, or as they say on the truckers' world, a commune, then we must be one mind, one body, one focus as a whole and not as a separate individual. Yes, we have our own individual thoughts, but when we work together and we try to solve complex problems, are we solving it just for us to say, look what I did, look what I can do? Or are we solving these problems to better us as a whole? See, a hero is unconditional. He or she does something without even thinking about it. He will offer his right arm and his heart without even thinking of the consequences to himself. So I ask you, when we look at today's world, we ask ourselves, and I want you all to ask yourselves, who is going to be my hero that influences me at this present moment? Who has said something to me that can make my day a better day and bring sunshine where I saw only darkness? Who's going to bring me out of the darkness into the light? Now, they can say this is just a simple answer. And I can be simplistic all I want with my answer. And they say, well, my hero is Superman or the Black Green Lantern. Or I can say my superhero is the fireman or the policeman. Or my hero is my pharmacist, my doctor. But a hero is more complex than that. But you ask yourself about the question about that hero, though, that we don't ever ask this question. I never heard anybody ever say, who's the hero to the hero? Who's helping that hero when that hero that fights so I can have a better day? Who aids and soothes that person? Who is really helping the person that helps me? And can I do better to help that person? Yes, you can help the normal individual. Because there's some of us that do not want to be heroes, don't step up to be a hero, and just go through normalcy of a normal day that don't stick out so the world can see them. But the one that sticks himself out most of all, ask yourself the question, who aids the helper that helps the helper? When you look at this world, I want you to think about this as you go through your day. So everybody that listens to this, I don't care if you're listening to it 20 years from now. It's year 2021, we're doing this. If you are to step your thumb out on the road, and if you are to put yourself out there, find someone that can help you along the way and guide you as well. You cannot live in this world and this society without having some kind of support mentally, physically, or even financially in this so-called world. Because all you are bringing is death to you. People don't realize this, and a lot of people that might be listening, if you're a Marvel or a DC comic person, ask yourself this question. Why did they kill Superman? Why would you bring a story of the most undestructible person and have him dead and killed? Now, from a person who is an analytical thinker, I'll tell you why. Superman's alone, even when he's among people. Green Arrow is alone, even when he's among people. The Flash is alone, even when he's among people. Batman is alone, even when he's among people. Wonder Woman is alone, even when she's among people. If you do not understand what I'm saying to you, it's because you can't see the heart and the mindset of a hero fully clearly. But one day you will. See, a hero, life is you know, he can't be selfish. He will literally do everything in his power. And I'm saying this, I've already said this once, but I'm saying it anyway so you, those who did not understand the first time, can understand me this time. A hero will never, ever, ever really ask for help. Sometimes you got to tap him on the shoulder, them on the shoulder, and say, listen, you need a rest. You've done so much. You need to step back and let me help you help the people. All right, we're going to go ahead and do another commercial right now and get going. You don't forget every time, brothers and sisters, every time we come on the air, you know what it is. You know who the man is. Every Wednesday, every Monday and Wednesday, he's on the air. You know who it is. The main man.
Chapter systems are offline.
The number one for today's hit. An all-time favorite.
What's going on? You're listening to Midnight Oil with King Cam on NSF Radio, where you get music, motivation, and more.
On Country on Sundays on NSF Radio.
Dolly Park, Bubba Sparks.
Booty, booty, yeah. Booty, booty, yeah. Rocking everywhere. Booty, 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 rocking everywhere.
Seeing is believing.
I'm ready to believe it. How about you guys?
Fried, baptized in gravy, can't wash up with the good Lord made you. No matter how far that highway goes, an old dirt road to get you home.
Come on!
You can see it in their eye when they try to lie. You're the bullet hole in a stop sign kind. That I'm right there with you. Put your drinks up high for my country folk.
Hey.
My country folk.
Hey. I'm out here on a thousand.
Yo, it's Country Lou here. If it's played in the South, it's played on Country on Sundays on NSF Radio.
Warning, radioactive zone detected. Please enter with 20 mood. Take a break and enjoy the show. This is Radio El Duente.
All right. 5 minutes left in the show. We just wanted to give a shout out to everybody. Appreciate everybody coming on today. And the call that number 516-418-5805. You know, tune in to the Powerhouse Squad on NSF Radio stations. If you want to get to know more about what the Power Squad is doing and what's going on, check out the links on the website. We're on NSF Radio stations. That's NSF Radio stations. STATIONS. .com, and click on the link there for Radio Times and shows, and you can see the listeners, what the Powerhouse Squad is doing. You can go on there and check us out, what we're doing, what we are, a little bio history about what we're doing, like Sister Sophia's been going on, what's going on, Brother Kofi, on his shows and his programs and platform. You can always cash in. If you're trying to see Brother Kofi, just put in the hashtag Find Kofi on your Google search or any search engine, and you'll definitely find Kofi. Also, if you need Sister Sophia, she is out there. If you're looking for that little helping hand, you can see her on Facebook as well as see her new books and authors. You know, what else she's been doing out there in the field to help those heal through the times, the tough times, and through the other times. Also, if you're trying to get Brother Alpha, you know what to do. You know how to get in touch with me. Always hit that contact button on the web. Also, NSF is hiring. If you are looking for a job, we are looking for sales techs, people to help sell advertisement for our platform. If you do that, come on, get going. You can earn up to maybe $2,000 a month or more, depending on how good you are in sales. If you can close that deal, give us a call. All right, that's 1-800-903-2096. Come on, give us a call and give us a let me know what's going on. So listen, once again, that 1-800-903-2096. And that extension is 1. And right, just want to say thank you, everybody, for appreciating. 3 minutes in left in the show. We're keeping going. The time is running down. I just want to give a shout-out to everybody that's been on, and I appreciate everybody. And I hope to see you all next week. All right, and just keep it going. Keep it loving. Listen, you know, one family, one mind, one heart, one soul. Everybody knows when it comes to the truth, we got to keep it always going. Never let no one define you. Never let nobody put you down. And you know what? Hey. Keep love for yourself and your family. And you know what? Everything will work out for you. And if it does, then cool. If it don't, you know what? That's just another day, another time for all of us to work together. My name is Brother Alfred. This is the Sophie and then Brother Kofi here. Brother Tone should be back next week, you know. And for all you need to get in touch with him, you know what to do. Click that link, press that button. Hit it up, nsfradiostations.com. Also, look in the link on here on the show. And definitely get on that, get that NSF radio fan. If you want some nice gear, some bed sheets, get yourself a Kofi blanket or jacket or Sister Sophie coat right there for you. All right, coming out, you know what I'm saying? Trust me, we're going to have it all nice and pretty for you, ready and good and go. Package right there for you, fast-moving, quick-thinking. Whether it's imports or outports, we got it for you. All right? Until next time, my name is Brother Alfred, and we are out of here.
You know what time it is.
It's the Powerhouse Squad. The Powerhouse Squad. The
Powerhouse Squad. The wisdom has left the house. Tone Robbins.
Live and direct, man.
Kofi Afore.
Video. I am Hills Kofi Afore.
And Brother Al. Hey, what's up? You know, it's not just the wisdom. It's the basis of understanding of the subject. The newest member to the Powerhouse Squad.
Sophia Alexandria.
The Power Squad has gone home. See you, folks.